You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and it's time now for our weekly catch-up with RNIB Chief Executive Matt Stringer. Matt, Chris and all, it's good to have you back.
Hi, Hal, good to see you.
And we're starting with the RNIB Travel Report, which has been published. It's the second of its big travel survey, which has had more than 1,000 submissions.
Yeah, we're really pleased this week. We published In My Way, which is particularly talking about navigating pedestrian journeys with sight loss. And, you know, this is something that we feel very passionate about and very, very knowledgeable about. As you say, a lot of contributions to this, which has really helped us write a really full report. And we've had a lot of coverage this week. You know, as we're talking, it's happening in real time, but a lot of coverage across a variety of media channels, both television and radio, and both national and local. I think this has really hit the sort of zeitgeist at the moment, as people just generally in their lives are alert to, you know, urban architecture design, you know, cycleways going in, floating bus stops, you know, some of the traffic calming measures, 20 mile an hour speed limits, all these sorts of things are just part of the sort of, you know, national awareness at the moment. So I think this report has landed at a really good time, you know, to get attention. And clearly what we talked to, I think, is what a lot of people would know from what we talked about already, but about how, you know, the street environment has changed over time, even in the last 10 years, you know, with e-scooters and e-bikes coming, with that infrastructure design I mentioned that potentially, you know, prioritizes cyclists and leads to things like floating bus stops, the fact you have shared space, you know, the fact that in COVID, you know, was a bit of a prompt of this, you know, people sitting outside, you know, to be in fresh air, pavement, you know, sort of tables, chairs, A-boards going up. And even some of the challenges in sort of local government budgets on fixing potholes and fixing cracks, paving stones and dealing with sort of, you know, hedges and other, you know, greenery overhanging of all things which have probably made the landscape a lot more challenging if you're visually impaired to move out, to get out into the world and travel around for reasons of going to work, seeing friends, pursuing hobbies, you know, it is much more difficult. And I think just maybe final point, how just on some of the headline findings, is it was really quite remarkable. Just such a very, very high percentage of people finding it a challenge. You know, just throw some stats out, you know, 92% of blind and partially sighted people having to walk into the road due to street obstacles, 88% saying it's easier than to walk when bikes are kept separate from pedestrians, and there's other challenges, as we said, of shared space and sort of floating bus stops and some of those things. You know, 73% saying the roads in their area are too unsafe for them to cross, you know, because of some of these challenges on how things are maintained and the lack of accessible pedestrian crossings. And, you know, people, maybe final stat, you know, 34% have collided with an obstacle. And maybe the killer conclusion from all this is only 9% said that they would feel averagely safe making independent walking journeys in their neighbourhood. So the flip side of that is 91% aren't. And as we know, as we're working on getting people out, you know, to, you know, be able to participate in employment, to go to education, you know, sort of locations to really sort of try and push their education and close the education gap, you know, living a full life, seeing friends, family, you know, pursuing hobbies, all those things massively important for general well-being and mental health. If you can't get around, then it's a problem. And if 91% don't feel safe making independent walking journeys, then we've got a really problem. We've got a problem as a country that we need to notice. And I think that's why this report has landed so well this week.
Well, we're moving on to the issue of employment for blind and partially sighted people. And you've been out and about this week, Matt.
Yeah, well, I've just mentioned, haven't I? You know, employment, you know, one of the things people need to get there, you know, whether that's, as we've just said, you know, sort of urban architecture working, you know, we've talked a lot about, and we're doing work on things like, you know, trains and buses and making that accessible and affordable going on as well. So, you know, ongoing work that's really been going on through this year, working with the Department of Work and Pensions around welfare and also around employment. And we've been heavily involved in both. I had a meeting this week along with my peers in a disability charity consortium with Sir Stephen Timms. You know, we were talking to the Timms Review and trying to make sure we were shaping the terms of reference and you know, how that's going to be co-created, which was a good aspiration of that report. But the danger is that doesn't quite work that well. So we were keen to input to that. And then the second part of that meeting was talking, you know, the flip side of that is the employment question. How do you get the nation working? How do you get more opportunities for disabled people to get into work, which, you know, we as the RNIB do a lot of work on, and all my other peer charities in that consortium also do the same. And then that actually coincided on the same day with an all-party parliamentary group meeting that was addressed by Sir Charlie Mayfield, who is the sort of person responsible for running this review into getting Britain working. And clearly the disabled side of that is an important part of it. And this was a meeting to talk to that, you know, with a room full of people in Parliament. And actually, Charlie, I thought, was very good in terms of, I think, the ground they've covered, the realism, and, you know, trying to focus on recommendations which are implementable and have teeth. I think the good thing is, and we weren't the only organisation in the room, but I think, you know, very strong, I think, sense of his participation and awareness of the points people have been making in the room through round tables, such as the one we did. He name-checked some of our staff. I had a good interaction with him. He's clearly clocked the points that we've been making. And it was only the latest meeting, I think, in the run into that report being finalised at the end of October and then used by the government. And we will be agitating over the next couple of months to make sure we play a part with his team in assessing that report before it's published. And then we are putting work into an employment event we're trying to run across a disability charity consortium in November that will coincide with that report coming out, to really try and row in behind that and push, you know, the opportunities for organisations to use the materials that the Disability Charity Consortium have to get disabled people into work. But as I was saying, I think, you know, this has been the first week back in September. It's felt like everyone's back from holiday. It's been a busy week, but some of these things are really important, and it's great to sort of get stuck in early September on two important topics of transport and employment.
Lots going on, as ever. And of course, if you have any questions about any of RNIB services, you can call the helpline on 0303 123 9999. Matt Stringer, Chief Executive of RNIB, Diolch yn fawr iawn I chi. Thanks again for your time this week. Always good to catch up. And thanks for speaking to us on RNIB Connect Radio.
My pleasure. And I think it's interesting, there's a lot going on. Everyone's back. A lot happening in the political world this week. And good that we're fully involved, and I think trying to inform what are a couple of really quite important issues. So thank you for having me on.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.